getting to be late afternoon now, but afternoon nonetheless. Our next item is public comment. And at this point, we'd be glad to hear from the public on any issues you'd like to bring to the Commission's attention. Mr. Shackelford, come on up to the microphone and please state your name for the record.
I'm Michael Shackelford, I'm a commercial fisherman. I'm coming in front of y'all today. I was down last night in front of the Fin Fish Committee and I booked my fine and dogfish permit. And I've been, ever since the latest permits started a couple years ago, when we did these permit things, Spot called me. I didn't know nothing about that we was doing, that he was having spotted dogfish permits issued. Okay, but anyway, I filled my, I had dogfish quota from the year before. And Spot Seafood down in Lynnhaven, who I sell to, he said, Mike, your name is not on the paper. He said, I know you qualify. I said, yeah, I filled my reports out. Well, go look at my reports. God so help me, did not walk out of here. My sister does my reports. She takes care of my paperwork for me. Okay, well, anyway, I go back and look where I had sold to my other fish, to another fish house. What Spot had given me, all his receipts was in an envelope. She overlooked them. Honest, I know you think I'm telling you something, an honest mistake. Overlooked. So I come, back then I get hold of Mr. Bowman to try to get it started. Anyway, boat this thing. Then it's been this long trying to get a horn dog permit. So it's like 60 some people that have these and don't even use them. Last night at the Finfish meeting, there's one man, his son is a rocket scientist. He just happened to qualify because he went with him on the weekend. I'm paying $1,500 a month on a boat to use down in that, which I can't use. I haven't worked in 4 months doing anything. It's been slow, not nothing. Just started spot fishing. Matter of fact, I left here at 7:30 last night, went to the Gloucester Matthews line, picked the guy up that works with me, come back, took my nets up so I could get back home, take a shower to be here to be in front of y'all today. And any way possible, I'm throwing myself to the mercy of y'all so I could have, I qualified for it. Like I said, it was just a mistake that was made. And I overqualified. I mean, I've been dog fishing. I was one of the first on Chesapeake Bay to ever do it when it started up in Gloucester, one of the very first. And I've been a commercial fisherman my whole entire life. And I just, any way that y'all could see that I could be able to have that permit would be a very, very big help to me. That's what I do.
Mike, at this point in time, what record do you have of what you sold to Spot back during the qualifying period?
In the qualifying period, I had all my, you know, the payments that I needed every day that I had, was to him.
Have you turned that into staff?
Yes.
I mean, did you have receipts from that period?
Turned into staff, we turned it in, and we got it filed, and everything was filed and put in so it would be in there. But I've been this long, and I honest to God, I really need it right now.
Let's hear, if you don't mind, let me hear from staff about the disposition of the records and so forth. Thanks, Mike. Joe?
Just a reminder to commission on this issue. Majority of you, at least not all of you, probably remember back 2009 when this actually came into being. This actual limited entry permit for spotted dogfish was a request of an industry committee that wanted to place it under limited entry. They also did the same thing with the gillnet, creating the Class A, Class B gillnet criteria. So there was the harvest criteria that was set up by this committee, passed by the commission in October of 2009, that resulted in 101 limited entry permits for spotted dogfish. And it had some very specific criteria having to do with your harvest from 2006 through 2008. They had different ways of getting in. It's either showing a very minimal amount of harvest, but showing some use of gill nets, or having a large amount of harvest, specifically a spiny dogfish. So that's how we ended up with 101 limited entry permits at that time period. In November of that year, following, on November 24th in particular, and again the following April 2010, staff came before you with many public comments during requests for public hearings on other items involving spiny dogfish. And a lot of these comments had to do with those who didn't get the permit. And Mr. Shackford's is one of them, and had to do with the fact that he had harvested dogfish but didn't report them. The criteria that were specified by the industry committee and adopted by the commission had to do with the reports had to be the state mandatory harvest reports, not just showing up with receipts or anything. You actually had to have reported legally under Regulation 610. We brought these items for the commission. The comments that were coming, the commission took no action both times. Mr. Shackford is correct in that he did harvest. We do have records from K&A Seafood brought to us after the fact, receipts that he did sell to K&A, but they were never reported to us through mandatory reporting through Regulation 610. Had we never put this permit in place and we had done an audit and come across the same records, we've actually, unfortunately, Mr. Shackford brought him forward to you on a violation of Regulation 610 for failure to report. But in this end, he turned in the receipts. When we brought this forward to commission, it's like, what do we do with all the late reports coming in? Because it wasn't just late reports. There was criteria that was set up by the industry committee to allow helpers to get equal credit for the primary's harvest. We had all of a sudden, we had a large number of people coming in here. Mr. Robbins, you may remember specifically that helpers, I've got people assigned and say, I was a helper on that boat during that qualifying period, thus I should be able to get this permit now too. It was all after the fact. So commission took no action. But I do have receipts, Mr. Shackford's right, I do have receipts from K&A Seafood that had he reported those through the proper channels, that would have qualified him. It's just he never did the paperwork at the time. This did get brought up before FMAC last night. Ms. Shackford brought the same issue up to there. FMAC's response was they took interest in it. They also voiced interest in the fact that, and this commission has in the past, that there may be already overcapacity in this fishery. We have 106 permits at this time. In the last 3 years, we've ranged from 47 to 67 individuals actually actively participating with those permits. So over half are not even participating, yet we're catching our quota. We had a little over 2.1 million pound quota for the last season. That ended in December 7th of last year because we caught it by then. We had about 47 involved. This season, our quota is up to 3.7 million. Started on May 1st, will end on April 30th of next year. We will probably catch it before April 30th, but we'll probably extend further into the winter this year. We don't know how many will actually participate this year, but they're having no trouble catching that quota. So FMAC has interest in this having to do with the issues of transferability of the permits, but also the issue of overcapacity, knowing that if they do allow just open transfers now, we're also probably going to take latent effort and turn possibly into active effort, and we're going to spread this out even more. So this is a really difficult issue. It's been a difficult issue since its inception in October 2009, I apologize. Definitely for people like Mr. Shackford, who just didn't have the reports incorrectly at the time, and they got left out because of that. Similar issues did happen with blue crab permitting process and the appeal process that followed. Same thing happened with striped bass years ago, back in the 90s. So this is not an uncommon thing to come before us either. But at this time, the way the regulation is set up, there's no way to let him in, even with late reporting, unless the commission were to go back and say we can accept late reports and follow-up reports to show that they have this stuff after the fact. But that's where staff has been put in this position.
Jay, remind me, there may have been one or two exemptions to this, but when we did the same thing with blue crabs, we had some people that had receipts that came
appeal
in.
Process. There was an appeal process.
Right, they came into the appeal process, but the disposition of most of those cases was that they were declined if they had receipts but hadn't reported the catch.
I think there was a mix of results in that whole appeal process, yes.
Depending on who completed the report or
right.
what the facts of those cases were. Okay.
Now, just so you're aware, and I'm just as an example, Mr. Shackford is not the only individual in this situation. This is all the correspondence I received after the 2009 action involving many people who also say they can either show receipts, have shared receipts, or can say they can produce letters to say they were helpers on boats that went into this fishery as well. So Mr. Shackford is not the only one. He's been very diligent in pursuing this over the last couple of years. I've had many discussions with him, very good discussions. Mike has been a very, very thorough on this, and I give him a lot of credit for pursuing this as far as he has. I mean, he desperately does want to work, and we all know this.
Thank you for the briefing. And so FMAC expressed interest in it, but they also talked about the excess capacity in the fishery.
FMAC has expressed interest in looking into this further as far as if the number that is allocated now, which is that 106, should be less, how do you get there?
Mm-hmm.
What should it be? And they want to look at this. There's already a control date set in place of April 30th, 2011, to look at the current permittees. So these are tools already in place to be looked at to come up with ideas on if it should be reduced, how, and how to get there. And they want to look at options involving that. That way the transfer question that comes up about having open transfers can also be resolved. Maybe you get it to a certain point, and then you just let it be an open transfer process without worries
right.
about changing latent effort into active effort.
Yeah, well, I think your point, you already made the point that when the commission originally issued the permits, they included some helpers. And, you know, this fishery back in the 1990s supported maybe 30 boats. And that was, in the mid-1990s, we had about a 60-million-pound-a-year catch. We then went through stock rebuilding. The fishery got cut down dramatically. And what's evolved in the wake of that has been a smaller-scale directed fishery where people catch 3,000 pounds a day instead of 20,000 pounds a day like they used to. But because we permitted individuals rather than vessels, we ended up with a very large number of individuals versus the number of boats that had been in the fishery. So I think that's the issue that FMAC is getting at. We froze in response to public comment, freeze the ability to transfer licenses
yes.
because
there
some of those licenses were inactive and potentially becoming active again.
Yeah, in the transfer process, there are transfers now allowed. That was something that did come about a year later. The transfers are very specific, though. The commissioner or designee may grant exceptions to the prohibition against transfers if they demonstrate a significant hardship on the basis of health, provides commissioner documentation by an attending physician or a medical condition, demonstrates a significant hardship on the basis of call to active duty, providing the commissioner an explanation in writing and a copy of the military orders that are sending them away, or documents the retirement or the death of an immediate family member permitted for the spiny dogfish fishery and having had possessively a commercial registration license. So there are hardship transfer provisions built in, which have been used a couple times in the last 3 years.
Okay. Well, I'll put it before the commission. I think I'd like to see what developments occur in FMAC going forward about the overall picture and what could be done to allow transfers and individuals that need to get into the fishery or want to get into the fishery to get into the fishery. But what's the pleasure of the commission? Does the commission want to take any action on this request? Mr. Tacker?
I'd like to take some action, but I don't think we can, to be honest with you, for the reasons that he's outlined. We've got a lot of latent effort out there. And if we begin to permit people who didn't follow the process that we had outlined originally, we would further increase that effort with the resources that is limited.
Okay. Thank you. Further comment?
I just think Mr. Shackford, sadly, is not the only one that's in this situation. If he were the only one, we might deal with it differently, but I think we have to follow through as staff has suggested.
There's no way to put in place a policy that could encourage those who aren't using their permits to, you know, put them on the market to those that could benefit from them. I don't know if that's been explored already, and nothing comes to my mind that's a particular use. But
well, when we first came out with the permit, there was concern about the level of subscription in the fishery, unfortunately, right out of the gates, I think. And so we had some backlash pretty quickly about that, and people realized there were a lot of permits that were granted individuals that may not be active in the fishery, and there was concern about those becoming active. So we had some public comment and ended up, at the advice of FMAC, I believe, freezing those or preventing transfers.
We actually processed between the October meeting in 2009 and the December hearing, and actually the November, because I believe it was an emergency action that November, just within a month. We processed three open transfers, and the industry committee came right back and said, no, we didn't intend for this to be a transferable permit. We wanted it to be locked in. So that came about, and then the following April is when we put in the hardship provisions for the transfers that I currently listed to you just now. So at least there's a hardship provision, especially in cases of death. They were mostly worried about a license just disappearing, someone were to pass away, and they were unable to pass it on to a family member. And that was a major concern that came back up from the industry.
Well, I think we'd benefit from hearing more at the FMAC level about what they'd like to see that fishery look like in the future, and so that they can have a more have a thoughtful approach to the total number of permits, and then allow for if there's some reasonable transfer mechanisms that can occur once that's defined, we'll be in a much better position to handle these types of situations. But Mr. Shackford, you had a comment.
Yeah. Not like I didn't fill my report to it. There was only one. I filled my report to it for the month of December. There was only one that missed by. It was in my envelope. It was an honest mistake. It wasn't like I was trying not reporting. My reports was up to date for the month of December on all the other stuff that I caught. But Ken, with Spot Seafood, I sold him the dogfish. He's down in Virginia Beach.
Right.
And gets all the dogfish. And, I mean, it was a separate thing. It wasn't like I did not report my, I was trying to get by with anything. I wasn't trying to do that. It was just an honest mistake that, and I'm paid for it. I believe I'm paid for it enough. And, I mean, that there's people that's got them that don't, I've been in the fishery every year. I've had this one or that one that's had permits. And do you want to take off, go hunting for 2 weeks? I can't go dog fishing because they're not on the boat. And, I mean, it's not like I ain't been active into it, so you're not putting another boat into it. You're putting somebody that's going to work into it. I mean, you got so many people that, like you said, put down as helpers.
Right.
People got their wives down, everything. I'm here asking, and another year goes by. Another year goes by. And I don't have it. And I just made an honest mistake. The world's not perfect, and I'm just asking y'all to see that I can go and do this. And I had a guy that was willing. He's sick. He can't work. I mean, the man gets around, but he's taking like 20 pills a day. He's got a permit because the guy he worked with put him down. Him and another two people got the permit from the same guy for him putting them down. This guy's willing to give me that permit. You mean if I went that road? But I really qualify for to have my own permit without going through anyone. I know there's people that says this, and, well, I qualify. But I filled my reports out for the month of December. The dogfish, the horned dogs, just wasn't on that. My sister overlooked it. But anyway, thank y'all.
Thank you. Joe, with respect to the qualifying period, was it just one December that people could turn catch in, or was it several years?
It was over a three-year period.
3 years of catch?
06 through 08,
okay.
With various qualifications. Like I said, it was like minimal effort with the type of gear or a lot of effort specifically with spiny dogfish. So they had different criteria built in, so it wasn't just isolating one group or another. They wanted to watch out for people like with pound nets who may come across a spiny dogfish occasionally during the year or something and not end up getting cut out and having to discard it. So they wanted to try and have it fairly open.
Okay. Well, Mike, we'll look forward to more discussion at the committee level. I think that they're probably the better place to take up some of these questions and work out the overall capacity picture.
Excuse me.
Thank you. Yeah.
Can I ask just one more question, to a clarifying question? So Mr. Shackelford's mistake that he refers to is not reporting 1 month, and that's what cost him his...
No, I wouldn't say it's 1 month. I'll have to go back and see. I mean, but it's not reporting the catch. I mean, it was a significant amount of catch it did not get reported.
Sure.
It wasn't just 1 month.
It was not just 1 month, that's what you're saying.
That season lasted over a series of months, but again, other people in the same situation as well. So,
I've heard about others as well out of Cape Charles.
Thank you, Jeff. Is there any further public comment to come before the commission? All right.